On Friday, we told you that President Obama met with family members of those who lost loved ones in the 9/11 attacks, and also those who lost loved ones at the bombing of the USS Cole back in 2000. And one of the people who were there, one of the participants, is our friend Deborah Burlingame, who lost her brother Chick in flight 77 American Airlines. He was a pilot, and it crashed into the Pentagon, of course. And Deborah was at the White House, and she joins us now. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm well, thanks.
Well, tell us about it. How many people were there, would you say?
They're saying about 40 in the media, and I think that's probably right. It was a mixture of Cole families and 9/11 families, and the 9/11 families outnumbered the Cole family. Some of the Cole families declined the invitation. They refused to come.
Yeah, I read about one African-American family that refused to go meet with President Obama. They were so angry about the Gitmo situation. All right, so you were there, and so you were one of the privileged few who attended, and tell us what happened. You all assembled. Where did he meet with you, and what was it like when he walked in the room?
We waited for him in the Roosevelt Room, which is kind of a room where there are a lot of famous meetings that go on in there, and we assembled and we waited for him. When he came in, we were already seated around this big conference type setup, like four sides of tables, and everyone stood up and applauded him when he walked through, which I found unusual. It was a spontaneous thing, and I don't really know what it meant. I mean, we all have good will and good wishes for our president. But that was unusual. I think the tone was rather somber because of the Cole families. They were very, very disturbed and upset by what had happened with the charges being dropped against the guy that killed their sons. And so that sort of set the tone in the room. And the president came around and he greeted each person individually, shook hands and said a few things to each individual.
Okay, and did he address then address the crowd as a whole? And,
right. Then he talked for about 10 minutes, and he made general comments. You know, he called us the conscience of the nation. Said that he used the term swift and certain justice with respect to the folks responsible for the Cole bombing and for 9/11. He used that phrase many times, and I thought, well, that's probably pre-planned, that phrase. And sure enough, press release immediately after the meeting was over was put out where that phrase was prominent. They wanted that used in the media a lot. Swift and certain justice, and that was sort of the theme of his remarks, that the entire commission's process had been fraught with uncertainty, that they were put together on legally shaky footing, where there was no sense of confidence. They were, legally vulnerable. He talked a little bit about the law, and as you know, Steve, I am a lawyer, and he got the law wrong. He was absolutely wrong about what the Supreme Court recently said about the legal framework. They did bring these cases into the detainee cases. They gave them habeas corpus rights, but they weren't given constitutional rights, and they had set up no comprehensive legal framework, which is, he kind of implied to the families that they had, and this isn't true at all.
No, which is why he's even said he's going to have to. They're going to have to decide how to go forward.
Right. And anyway, he spoke for about 10 minutes. I mean, he's, everything you see about, what you see on television is kind of how he is in person. He's a good listener. He opened the floor for questions for the remainder of the meeting, and he was supposed to be with us for about 30 minutes, and he was there for about an hour, I'm told.
And I know that you had a great question for him, and I think the people need to hear this.
Well, I started off by commenting on something he had said, which is that I was very happy to hear him say, which is that with respect to Guantanamo, it has this reputation of being this torture mill, and he said that, in fact, the world saw the pictures of Abu Ghraib, and they confused those pictures with what's going on at Guantanamo, and the Abu Ghraib incident had nothing to do with Guantanamo. Guantanamo is a pristine professional operation, and he said, but unfortunately, because of that confusion, it's become a symbol, and throughout the world, and a stain on America's reputation, I think is the way he put it, and so it's just simpler to shut it down. And what I had said to him in preface to my actual question was, gee, Mr. President, I'm happy to hear you acknowledge that it's that this is a professionally run operation, I wish that you would rehabilitate its image rather than shut it down, because shutting it down is very, very problematic. And he just sort of shrugged, like, well, that's the choice I made. But what I asked him was, I've heard him tout the federal, you know, bringing these cases into the federal system, like the World Trade Center bombing in 1993 and all those terrorism cases that were brought in the Southern District of New York over a 10-year period. And I told him that the prosecutors of the who handle those cases are deeply, deeply worried about bringing detainee cases into the federal system, because it presents terrible problems with respect to discovery. There, when you, once you're under the constitutional protections, you're entitled to all sorts of information from the government that is deemed material to your defense.
Sure.
And this means opening up tons of classified information. You know, who testified against you? In other words, just an example, in the 93 bombing case, the defense attorneys were given a list of 200 al-Qaeda operatives. That was in the hands of Osama bin Laden within 24 hours. He knew who we'd identified and who we hadn't. Another example from the 1990s is it came out that we were tapping his satellite phone. That was revealed, and he stopped using it. What I said to Barack Obama is that these defendants, these detainees now, are far more sophisticated than those suspects or those accused from the 1990s. They know now to fire the attorneys and represent themselves, and under the federal system, criminal system, they are entitled to do that. They
right.
can represent themselves. And then how do we handle the classified evidence? Because under the federal system,
they would get it.
The attorneys get top secret clearance, and the defense attorneys see the evidence, but the defendant does not. How is that done? And I said, the organizations that are pushing to bring these into the federal court have absolutely no answer for that problem. And his response was, well, look, I see this classified evidence. I certainly don't want them to have it, and we just will make provisions so they can't have it. Well, that's kind of like saying, we're going to give you constitutional rights except for the Fifth and the Sixth, or we'll hold the Fourth or maybe the Eighth. It doesn't work that way.
Right, right. No, we're talking to Deborah Burlingame here on the Steve Malzberg Show. No, you're absolutely right. That seems kind of have a haphazard answer when you don't have the answer. You know, he just should have said, well, you know, these are some of the problems we're working on, and we don't know what we're going to do, but to indicate they'll get some of the constitutional protections that he's talked about, but not all of them, that he doesn't want to give them, that's weird. But also, I think very, very telling in your exchange with him about Guantanamo and basically admitting to you that Guantanamo is a professionally run place where, you know, these things don't exist that the left tells us exist and that the media tells us exist, that these people are treated so harshly and terribly and it's an awful place, when anybody who's gone there comes back and says that's absolutely not the case. So he admitted that to you, but won't admit it as you asked him, you know, hey, why don't you remake the image in public? He won't do that because he thinks, you know, people have just come to believe it is what it is, and he rather shut it down. I think that's a very, very interesting thing he said.
Well, it's very interesting because let's just give him and say, you know, that's a reasonable choice to make if that's the only issue, okay, the reputation of the place. But it's not. It doesn't end there. Then you have to decide, you know, where do you bring these guys?
Right.
And, you know, despite what you're hearing from defense attorneys or human rights groups that some of these guys are innocent, or some of these guys, maybe they're al-Qaeda members, but they're so low in the totem pole that they're really harmless, or they pose no harm. And that simply isn't true. And we know that now from all the people who have been released on that basis who have gone back to the fight. These are very dangerous people. And in fact, Lieutenant Colonel, Gordon Kukulu, who just wrote a book, Inside
Yeah,
Gizmo.
We had him on. Yeah.
Well, I hope he told you the story about the 19-year-old Navy corpsman, a medic, who was sent out to the cell area to respond to a complaint from a detainee that she had, in fact, treated before. This is a 19-year-old professional military woman. She went to his cell door. These are solid doors with a little, they call it a bean hole, where they put the food through.
Right.
And she asked him, what's the problem? And he said, could you lean down? I'm too embarrassed. I don't want the other detainees to hear. She leaned down. He quickly grabbed her face. He bashed her face against the door over and over and over. This is a metal door. But they pulled, by the time they pulled her away, her face was a bloody pulp. She ended up getting 16 surgical reconstructions on her face. These are the kind of people that are down there. Our troops down there are assaulted on a daily basis, physically or verbally assaulted. They especially like going after the women. One guy in the medical center who was being treated punched a nurse in the nose, broke her nose, and then complained, get me clean clothes, get this whore bitch's blood off of me. I mean, these are not good guys.
I know. And again, the fact that they haven't come up with any reasonable, plan for where they will be put is really crazy. Okay, so how, I guess he left it off as saying something like, this is not goodbye, this is hello or something like that, we'll talk again?
Right. And, he was sort of amenable to any suggestion. One family member wanted to create a liaison in a working group, and he said, talk to my staff, and yes, we can do that. And basically, will you kill Osama bin Laden? Yeah, we'll get it.
Yeah, I heard that.
Will you bring
question.
Justice? I mean, yes, we'll do that. I mean, it was all sort of very vague and more of a sort of a touchy-feely, I'm with you and I haven't forgotten you. I took that really with a bit of a grain of salt, although he's very attractive. He's extremely likable. These are things you've heard before. But if you really listen to what he's saying, there isn't much there.
Right.
And when I was listening very closely, I knew that he was getting this stuff wrong. In fact, I went over to Greg Craig, the White House counsel, and I said, I didn't want to correct the president in front of all these people, but when it comes to the Boumediene decision, the last ruling by the Supreme Court, he simply got that wrong. That was wrong. And he goes, yeah, that wasn't right. He wasn't right about that.
Well, you got great. See, the insight you're providing is really amazing, because every story that was written by, the media was, everything was a puff piece. But I'm so glad you went. I'm so glad you got the opportunity. And, it just gives you more of an education and more of a background to continue the fight and the struggle that you've been so wonderful in leading and being involved in and doing your brother justice and all the other victims justice. And you believe in what's right for America.
Well, it is about justice for the victims, but really, I'm not going to get my brother back no matter what they do with these guys. My number one concern, Steve,
keep us safe.
Is yes, protecting our country from this happening again.
Yep.
We cannot ever stop being vigilant.
Yep, I hear you. Listen, I know you're in D.C. Be have fun, be careful, and we'll speak to you soon. And thank
okay,
you
Steve.
Very much.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deborah Burlingame, ladies and gentlemen, lost a brother, Chick, pilot of Flight 77, American Airlines, crashed into the Pentagon on 9/11. She is just a treasure. She is a national treasure ever since that day. For the things she has done. And boy, we got right inside the Roosevelt room there with Deborah Burlingame, I'll tell you that much, and found out some very interesting things. You got the legal case wrong with regard to the rights the terrorist got from the Supreme Court. He admitted that Abu Ghraib is confused with Gitmo, so they become one, and he wants to close it down rather than go out and sell the image, the truth about Gitmo. He doesn't believe it's a bad place. These are things you never would have found out except listening right here to the Steve Malzberg Show, 1-800-321-8828.